One of the things that we need to understand about our relationship with God is the scriptures do not tell us that we are to be Christians. Hold on. The world will say that, and we use that language a lot. I mean, that's how we might describe ourselves. But the scripture tells us, Jesus tells us, that we are to be his followers, his disciples. You're just saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. Now, you see, that takes on a completely different thought than just being a Christian. It describes the idea that wherever he leads me, I will follow. And not because Pastor Steve says so, or because that's what Grandma says we should do with our life, but rather we are his disciple. We have made him the highest priority in our life. He is not just Lord, but he is our Lord, my personal Lord. He's the one that I give my life to, and naturally, if that's who he is to me, I will follow him. I'll become his disciple. So we're charged by the Lord himself to be followers of him. So that song that you just sang, I just kind of want it to hang there in the air a little bit. That if you've made that decision, I have decided. And it is a choice. We're Wesleyans, we believe that we have this beautiful, terrifying gift called free will. You can choose to give your life to God or not. The choice is yours. But if you have decided to follow Jesus, then that's something you get to do. 168 hours a week, in every context of life, whether it's at work or at play or at this time of worship, of coming together as a body to draw strength from one another, can follow after him, and you get to do that. Everything about our life can be beautiful then when we give it over to the Lord God Almighty. But until then, we are always going to be at this. There will be an angst within us that we're missing something. We're missing the thing until we decide to follow Jesus. And then we realize that, well, Mom and Dad drugged me to church and it just didn't feel good. And all the things that I kind of, in the world, will associate with all the things that I have to do if I'm a Christian. And you realize once you actually follow Jesus that none of that was accurate. None of that painted the true picture. It is a privilege. It is life. It is how we were meant to live our life, to follow after him. So we're going to enter into this time of prayer this morning. And I want us to have that heart set, that mindset. I can follow Jesus wherever he leads me. What, into the dark places or the easy places, I can follow after him. I get to choose that. And it's a privilege. And it's the most wonderful way we could ever live our life. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted you to just flush everything right now that might be weighing down in your mind or in your heart. Flush it. Because none of that matters in comparison to you get to follow Jesus. Hi, you are so beautiful. My wife and I are going to be at this altar, and you can join us there wherever you choose to pray. Just make sure you realize where you are. You're in the Holy of Holies. You've entered in through the curtain of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ because he wants you there. You're invited. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or what you're doing, he's beckoning you to come into his presence. Let's pray together, church. I think it might be worth noting that when there's a theme that God designed and orchestrated that, you hear me say all the time that we were created for the purpose of what? Bringing him glory. And this is what you just experienced through song and through their praise and through their hearts. This is why we're here. This is why we draw breath, is to praise him. In the midst of everything, if you are not right now going through a storm, well, there's probably one coming sometime, and you can trust in the Lord God Almighty through that. He'll see you through that. You can go through anything in life as long as you have him, because your hope and your life should be wrapped up in him. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm a little out of breath. It's warming up a little bit in here. I may have to catch up. I want to continue in this series of sermons called The World versus the Word, because I think it's important for us to get the perspective that there is a spiritual battle going on. It's going on against us and for us. All of heaven fights for us, but there is a world that wants to come against us. And the world wants to speak. And the world is a liar. And the world will speak to us and try to pull us away from God's love and His goodness. This is what Satan wants to do. He's the author of lies, and he wants to sow discord and chaos. And he speaks, and there's a voice. And the voices will tell us or try to tell us one thing that isn't true about us, and then when we understand that, we need to go to the Word to find out what God has to say about that. And last week we started this series that the world will tell us that we don't matter, that we don't measure up. And there's so many people in our world today that that's how they see themselves, as worthless, of little value, of little meaning, that they have no direction in life or no purpose. And the world will say, you don't measure up. But God's Word says, you are enough. And I added to that, you are more than enough. Who you are in Him is enough. You're worthy, you're loved, you're valued, just as you are. The Lord God created you for such a time as this, wherever it is, and as you following after Him, you are enough. And He loves you just the way you are. Sometimes humanity will look in the mirror and they really like what they see. Oh my goodness. Ooh, you're having a good day. You're having a good hair day. Or sometimes I look in the mirror and say, boy, I'm having a good mustache day. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we say, oh my goodness, I am all that. And that is a problem humanity has. But there are some that also go the other direction, which is might be a worse problem. They look in the mirror and they don't like the person they see. That they don't amount to much. That they're worthless and they don't have value or meaning. The Lord doesn't want you to have that perspective of you because He loves you. He made you just the way you are. Believe it or not, He made you three just the way you are. And it's, I know, it's surprising to me too. But you're worthy. In His eyes, in His sight, in His heart, you are more than enough. And I started this series last week because we need to have that foundational truth that you are loved beyond your level of understanding. God loves you more than you're capable of understanding. And I'm capable of understanding a lot of love. My family's here. You hear my new little granddaughter making some baby noises right here. Isn't that beautiful? I am capable of understanding a lot of love, but I can't comprehend the amount of love that God has for me. Not in my humanness, but I feel it. I experience it. You know when you've been loved by God. And you can feel that. You're loved by God because you are worthy. He loves you. And I wanted to start the series off with that foundational truth, because there are so many people that they don't view themselves that way. And it's just hard. Today, we're going to take a different approach. Are you ready? Hold on, because this is going to... Well, is it okay to feel bad every once in a while? Because God's Word has a way of convicting us also. So I want to present a premise to you that the Lord teaches us about love and hate and who we are to love and not hate. And I've done you a solid, I've done you a favor, and sometimes I'll do this, not always, Maddie, but sometimes I will kind of preemptively show you an outline of today's sermon. So I'm doing that. So Susan is going to put on the screen a slide, and it is kind of an outline for what you're going to experience this morning. She's going to bring that up. Okay, here we go. We got 4 points that we're going to discover today. The first point is something we need to get over. And we're going to spend a minute on this one when we need to get past ourselves on something. The next thing is Jesus' challenge, because there's a challenge in the scripture that really, oh, we read these words and it sounds good, but wow, is this not an easy thing to do? And then because we accept Jesus' challenge, you're invited to do this. I think it's a requirement of heaven, actually. But there are 3 beautiful results that come from accepting Jesus' challenge. And then the last one, I didn't know how else to describe this other than when you're able to take these principles and apply them to your life, you see the results. What happens is you become a superhero because you have powers that you wouldn't have in your humanness. I don't know, invisibility or flying, whatever superpower you want to have, there is a really good one that the Lord God Almighty, and it can only come from God, is the greatest superpower you could ever have. You could become a superhero. And we're going to kind of dig in and discover that together. So if you've brought your Bibles, you can turn with me to part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. If you've ever seen the poster, Everything I Needed to Know About Life I Learned in Kindergarten, you know, how to share, how to play nice, to wash your hands. I mean, my goodness, that just solves a lot of problems, doesn't it? Everything you need to know about living the Christ-like life is probably found in the Sermon on the Mount. So, let's turn there together. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go through this kind of slowly. But the first thing we need to do is to get over ourselves about something, because Jesus is going to lay down a challenge for us. And he's going to talk about hating your enemies, because the world tells us we should hate our enemies. Now, you might not think that, well, I do that, but humanity has a way of drawing boundaries, creating factions, us versus them. You look at the political or the world's, the global view right now and what's going on, we realize that humanity does want to hate each other, and this is who we are. In our humanness, we have the capacity to hate. We have the capacity to kill, to really deeply hurt one another. We do that. And here's what we need to get over. We need to get over the word hate. Because we might be tempted to think, well, that's not me. I mean, I don't really hate anyone. I mean, hate seems, that seems pretty strong, Pastor. That seems like, well, okay, I understand the word hate. And hate is really, it just kind of creates something within me that, if I'm really, really, really upset, maybe that is somewhat the word hate might describe. But I don't think Jesus is just looking at it in these rare circumstances. And we're not talking about the people that really humanity would say, well, it's okay to hate. It's okay to hate what? The murderers and the rapists and the arsonists and the people that really want to cause harm to us. And we might think that, okay, I might have the capacity to hate them, but what about somebody else? Is hate too strong of a word? And this is what we need to get over. We need to get over the idea that we don't have the capacity to hate, because we do. Because we could use other words that are synonymous with this, like animosity, ill feelings, contempt. Can we honestly say that there are people in our life that when we see them, that we don't immediately feel this? Contempt, animosity. Are there people, of course, there are people in our lives that when we see them, our heart just feels full of joy. Like, oh my goodness, I love this person so much, and you just can't wait to engage with them in some way. People that make us feel free and light. But then there's people that we know, and you know that you have people in your life that when you see them, maybe they're coming down the hallway, or you have to deal with that coworker that's just hard, and the only feeling you can describe is, oh my goodness, there's this the feeling that I have. You know the difference in somebody that you would be able to say, oh my goodness, I love that person with all my heart. But then there's that person. Can I just go this far? Jesus might describe that as hate. Is that okay to say that? If you're holding on to something against a brother or a sister that you can't get past, that you can't forgive them, the Lord Jesus would say, that's hate. And we need to get over ourselves with this. We all have the capacity to hate. So when we talk about love and hate this morning, we're not talking about people that, oh, yes, of course, yes, they have hurt us and harmed us so badly, the world would somehow feel justified that we hate them. I'm also talking about just everyday interactions with people that you know when it happens that I feel ill toward that person. I don't think about them the same way that I feel about somebody that's close to me or that I love, part of my family or part of my church. We all have that capacity. And I would dare say that we experience this more often than we think. Jesus is going to present to us the idea that the world will say, it is okay to hate your enemies. But Jesus is going to present something new and radical and different. Jesus is going to say, no, you don't hate your enemies. You love your enemies. And within that, there is this unbelievable challenge that I'm going to present to you. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go through this slowly. Verse 43. Oh, it's chapters 5, 6, and 7 are all R-E-D. These are the words of Jesus Christ. When the words are R-E-D, they just matter so much more. These are the Lord's words, not Pastor Steve's words. They have weight. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. We're going to stop there. But I tell you to love your enemies. Now, he didn't say, love your neighbor and just be neutral to your enemies. Stop hating your enemies. But that would be good. That's a good start, isn't it? Those people that you feel like this, if Jesus said, okay, well, just don't think anything. Instead of hate and animosity and contempt, just let them pass on by. Don't let them affect you in any way. That would be a good start, and that might be enough. But Jesus calls us to something radically different. The world would say, it's okay to feel like this against somebody because maybe somebody has hurt us. But Jesus calls us to something greater. He says to, doesn't say, don't hate your enemies. He says to love your enemies. What? The world speaks that we're justified, that we're entitled, that we somehow have justification and it's okay to hate somebody that comes against us. God's intent for humanity is not this. It is not this. It is more like this. That's His intent for all of us. The world would say it's okay to be like this if somebody comes against you, but Jesus says, that's not what I want for you. That's not going to give you life abundant. That's not going to give you life in the full. This won't do it. This will. But then he follows that up with this amazing challenge. If that wasn't enough, love your enemy? Did you catch where I left off? What he says next is the challenge that I couldn't wait to speak to you about. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, the prayer can't look like this. Oh, get them, Gord. Get them good. You know what they did to me. I'm praying in the name of Jesus, and I'm praying for them that you're going to get them good. Jesus doesn't mean that kind of prayer. I'm going to illustrate it this way. It's visual, so I'm coming up here. If you want to have less of this and more of this, in between, you need to do some of this. Come on. If you want less of this and more of this, in between, you need to do more of this. And it needs to be sincere. and from the heart. To pray for those who persecute you. I mean, what's that look like? Do you know the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Is the Lord God Almighty transforming your life? Have you found anything good by following after Jesus? Then here's what you do with that. Even with somebody that you don't like or your enemy, as Jesus would put it, do you not have the ability to love that person enough that you want them to have that? Because if that matters to your heart, it should matter to your heart that they have that in their heart. It's the greatest thing you could ever do for somebody, is to not just not hate them, but love them enough to pray for them. Then you have this with them. That's the challenge, and I don't know how to do that in my humanness. I can't do that on my own. Isn't it easier to love, let's be honest? Isn't it easier to love somebody that first loves you? What about that guy that cut you off on the freeway? Woo! Or this morning, driving here, the person in my rearview mirror with their bright lights on, it was dark. We stopped at the same gas station. I pulled in all the way down Trojan Lane. He was bumper to bumper with me. There's two lanes there. He's right behind me with his bright lights on, and worse, he's in a truck, which means they're higher up, shining in my face. Did I have some of this going on in my heart? I thought about this morning's sermon. This is how the Lord works. This is how He shows up. I parked off to the side, and sure enough, here He pulls in. I thought, Lord, here you go. Out of the truck hops this sweetest older gentleman. Hannah would just want to grab that person and squeeze them. Is Hannah in here? Hannah would just want to grab them and squeeze them and say, oh, this is the cutest guy. And he was. He had no ill will toward me. He wasn't trying to run me off the road. He wasn't trying to go get his Diet Mountain Dew before I got mine. Praise the Lord for Diet Mountain Dew, right, Amy? Still working on mine. And my heart just melted because he was adorable. And he goes in to get his drink, and I'm in there with him, and he is looking, I tell you what, he is looking good too. He's got some cool sneakers on, and he's got these really stylish shorts on, and he's got a golf polo on. My heart is just all for him. And he's got it tucked in. He's got a hat, and Connor, the hat says Titleist on it. This gentleman's headed to the golf course to worship the Lord today. He got his drink, and had I got to the register for, I would have paid for his. But when he turned to leave, I went up to him and I said, I want you to have the best day today, sir, and I want you to hit them straight. And if you're a golfer, you know what that means. And he said, I'm going to try, but I never do. I had a moment of this. I walked out of there with some of this. And then, from there to here, I prayed that Sunday morning would become a worshipful experience for him and not just about hitting golf balls. You know, we can probably judge ourselves by the little things like that. I'm not going to look around. Who's ever been to a high school basketball game? Is there a lot of this going on at a high school basketball game, or is there just a lot of this? It's fair. And this is just part of our normal everyday life. And I don't think that honors God. I don't think God wants us to be like this. To anybody in that house, in that room, whether it be the other team, the players, the fans, coaches, whatever. But what about the guys wearing the striped shirts, the zebras? Come on, Jeff. Come on now. Jeff's raising his hand. This. Here's the three results, and I'm going to go through these kind of quick. Yeah, I'm going to present something to you that it's like, okay, well, that kind of opens my mind a little bit, my heart, my eyes. This is what he says. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He doesn't stop. That's the challenge. And if you do those things, it says this, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. You want to be in the family? You want to be part of the family of God? You're not in the family unless you're able to love the rest of the family. Come on. Come on. Do you believe that God only loves you because you love Him? God also loves all of those that might come against you and persecute you. It is His love is not reserved just for you and me and the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. His love is for all. He loves everybody the same. And who are we and how dare we reserve our love and our heart for just those that we deem as worthy when the Lord God Himself is the same to all? You want to be in the family? You get to be in the family when there's less of this and more of this with this in between. You get to be part of the family, the children of God. That's result number one. But there is reason and purpose beyond this passage of Scripture that I want to share with you. From the book of John, I mean, these are some of the last words that Jesus said to His disciples, so this matters. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, listen to this. This is what Jesus told His disciples in the upper room. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. That is a challenge in itself. Love one another as I have loved you. In other words, love one another to the same degree that I have loved you. Do you think Jesus loved effectively with all of Himself? When Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, He is challenging you not to just, okay, I love you, but to love each other the same way Jesus has loved those around Him. Let me say that again. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, in other words, demonstrating our love for each other, not just those that are lovely, but those that come against us. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. There is a cause here that's way beyond your benefit. If you're truly able to love your enemies, they will see the Lord God within you. And they will know. Not because of what you say, not even what you do, not even the Mount Zion Wesleyan Church bumper sticker you put on your car. Isn't that enough, Pastor? They will see God's love in your heart coming out of you and onto them, and they will know that you are His disciple. There is great benefit, not just for you, but for the world, when you're truly able to love your enemy. And then the Apostle Paul writes something in Romans chapter 12. This particular passage of Scripture is what we really want to be kind of the end game. You see, I'd have loved that my golfing friend that I met today at the Shell gas station, I would love to have been able to sit down and just had a real conversation with him about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I would want that every interaction that I'm trying to transform from this to this has a greater purpose than just friendship or wellness in a relationship, there's something that we should want more, and we should want them to have salvation. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 says this. After following up the idea that we have the opportunity to repay evil with evil, Jesus, or Paul, Brother Paul says this, on the contrary, listen to these words, this is a challenge, this is result number three. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. There's a result. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. This was cultural. This is what the nation would do when they were entering into a time of reflection, when they were falling under conviction, when they were crying out to God, they would put ashes and tear their cloth. Paul says, just by showing up and loving the unlovable, whoever it is in your heart and your life that you might come against or they're coming against you, if you do the opposite and you flip that script, and instead of repaying evil with evil, you repay evil with good, you will heap burning coals on their head. That will cause conviction. That will cause them to think, what does that person have that I don't have? Because that person has something I don't possess. I want a little bit more of that. It opens up the door for the gospel, for evangelism. It opens up the door for God's truth to somehow penetrate from you into their heart. See, there's great result, and it's not just for you. It's for them. We're made in the likeness of the Lord God Almighty. Amen? We then have the capacity for a lot of things. But the most beautiful thing we have the capacity for is to love. Unconditionally love those that are around us. We're never more like Christ than when we love those that are around us. Everyone. And it's not just the closest. Isn't it easy to love my new baby granddaughter? I mean, my goodness gracious. I would do anything for this one. And for her oldest brother. And even the middle brother, the younger brother, even him. That's easy. But what about everybody else? Here's where you can become a superhero. Are you ready to hear what else Jesus has to say? Because this is the superpower that you might be realizing that, wait a minute, I don't possess the capacity to really do this, and I need some awareness. I need a perspective that's a little different. Going back to Matthew chapter 5, this is what he says about his family. Remember, one of the results is you want to be part of the family, then you have to love the rest of the family, whether they're in the family yet or not. You still have to love them because He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, God doesn't play favorites in this. He loves everybody the same. And if you want to be part of the family, don't you realize that He loves those that you don't want to love right now? He loves them too. You might not want to love them right now, but He loves them. And if you want to be part of the family, you got to love your other brothers and sisters because He loves them. Just like He loved you, He loved me ere I knew Him. You all have spent time outside of God's goodness. You've all been outside of this family, but He still loved you. He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. Therefore, you're worthy of a lot of love. And guess what? You're not only worthy of the love from heaven, everybody around you, whether you love them or not, is worthy of your heart and your love. You want to be part of the family. Then he says this. It's kind of mind-blowing. Listen, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Because that's easy love. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? That's easy. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet your own people, your own tribe, What are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Now think about that. You want to love supernaturally? You want to be a superhero? The greatest thing you could ever do is to love, but not just love in an easy way, but to not just those that are around you. I mean, look at this room. Aren't these people awesome? I mean, my goodness, you're so beautiful. It is so easy to love the people in this house, in this room, because we're just lovable. And it's easy to love those. That's easy, and it's natural. I can do that in my natural way. My heart could be filled, and I can love somebody who I love. But everyone? If I really want to be different, I mean, the people outside of the kingdom, outside of God's goodness, they're able to do that. How am I any better? I'm not. Unless I become a superhero and I am supernaturally able to love way past my human sinful limitation. That's when I become a superhero. That's when I can love everyone. I could truly love everyone, no matter what they've ever done to me, said to me, or are doing now to me, or anyone I'll ever meet in my life. If I can truly look at them with love, the way Jesus would look at them, I am supernaturally positioning myself to be a salvation hero in their life. And that is the greatest thing you could ever put your heart to. And I will tell you, not only will you experience life in the full and life in the abundant, it'll make you feel good. But doesn't it make you feel good to know that maybe you are the missing piece of the puzzle for them to understand the gospel and let it penetrate their heart and their mind and their life? Yes. And one day they have what you have. Yes. And you don't just go from this to this in a, oh, he's not so bad after all way. But you go from this to this because you get to spend eternity with them. And it starts by being a superhero. The world says it is okay to hate your enemy. Jesus would say it is not okay to hate anyone, because I love them as much as I love you. And until you're able to do that, you're not in this family. Woo! But if you're able to do it, these great things, these great results happen right before your eyes, and eternity changes. Jim and his team are going to come. They're going to do one song, Brother Jim, and then Brother Jonathan has something for us that's on his heart that's going to blow your mind to see that God just followed this little troop of musicians from state to state and showed up in amazing ways, and lives were changed for all of eternity, and Jonathan gets to tell us about it. Brother Jim?